Rich Eisen on demand.
Your show, your schedule.
I only caught the last 15 minutes of the show, so I'm going to have to go home on richeisen.com and check out the rest.
Download podcasts at richeisenshow.com.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Way early this morning, Brad Higdon shared a major spoiler alert from everyone's favorite hit show, sad emojis to express his feelings about the plot twist, and a playlist he made to drown out his sorrows? Dude, oversharing alert. Brad, Geico has something worth sharing with those who haven't befriended you. Like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance at geico.com. So stop moping about the post-apocalyptic world and start saving in the real world. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
So if that's the case, does that make you guys my wildlings? Because you're coming with me to help take back the North?
Correct.
Does that, so who does that make, Bolton? Who does that make?
Everybody else out there.
24-hour rule.
Ramsey Bolton.
Take it easy.
Could he be
the
worst, most evil character in the history of television from Game of Thrones? What this guy's done. And who he is.
It's pretty despicable.
There's a guy over my shoulder there, Giancarlo Stanton, who's Gus Fring.
No,
pretty bad.
That's not Giancarlo Stanton.
Giancarlo Esposito. Oh, excuse me. What a sports show. I'm talking sports.
Wow.
That's all I asked of you in New York is just if you chime in.
Just have it buttoned
just
up.
Just be accurate. That's all I ask.
At least it was the name of an actual person.
By the way, if Stanton was Gus Fring, that would have been great. That would have been very interesting, to say the least. So we spent much of the first hour, if not the, let's be honest, the entire first hour talking about what happened in Texas yesterday with the hit by pitch retaliation for a bat flip last October, a hit by pitch, a pitch thrown by a guy who was in jail last October, by the way. Matt Bush, the 2004 first overall draft choice. We talked about him going out the door, I believe, on Friday in our final show in New York City, how the Rangers brought him up. He was kicking around for 12 years, battling alcohol abuse, was arrested for a DUI, served the last 3 years in jail for it. So he wasn't even with the team last year. He wasn't even a free man last year when this thing happened with the bat throw. And fascinatingly enough, Matt Bush got the win yesterday. That's his first career win. So that'll be a story he'll be able to tell for quite some time. And something that Major League Baseball, as they're sorting through, not just how many games to suspend people, but who to suspend. One thing to keep an eye on is, does Major League Baseball suspend John Gibbons, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays? Because he was ejected in the third inning yesterday. He was ejected in the third inning because he came out to try and prevent his starting pitcher, Aaron Sanchez, from getting the gate because it seemed like he was getting upset with the home plate umpire at the time. So Gibbons comes out to try and intervene, must have said the magic words or the umpire didn't want to hear it, and ejected him. He was in the clubhouse when this whole thing happened, and he came out on the field to maybe play peacemaker, but it's also seen where he's chirping a little bit. So if Bryce Harper gets one game because he comes out on the field to celebrate a walk-off home run with his teammates, and while he's out on the field he says a choice word to the umpire, if he gets suspended one game, what does that mean for Gibbons? Because he comes out 5 innings later to get out on the field.
Doesn't now, he almost have to, though?
He's got to be.
His guys know he has their back?
No.
Because you're going to have Josh Donaldson walking down that runway to you in a little bit, and you're just going to be sitting there when he walks in?
Yeah, because he's ejected. That's the rules of the game.
He'll pay the fine, and he'd rather have his team know that he has their back, I think.
By being suspended. But you're a manager in Major League Baseball. You can't do that. I'm interested to see how MLB handles this. As C.J. Nikowski said in the last hour, that they could basically say, hey, bat flipping is fine from now on, people. The Players Association might say something like that. Who knows? Right? But as long as you might say this is now an unwritten rule of the sport that no longer is something that you should be upset about, and that won't be a culture change. Madison Bumgarner is still going to be upset if you flip a bat on him. Maybe we should take a look at it from that point of view. My point of view, as I said to lead off this show in hour number one, shouldn't be, hey, don't throw your bat in the first place if the self-policing mechanism is so horrible that this is the way it's going to work out. That let's just go back to the original sin, if you will, of the unwritten rule, the bat flipping, right? So maybe we should flip it on its head and say it's all good now, that this is baseball, right? Is that what you'd like?
that certainly isn't bad. Like CJ said, it's got everybody talking about it. The ratings went up after.
I don't know if this is what baseball wants.
It's not probably what baseball wants, what Commissioner Manfred wants, but it's good for the game.
We should be seeing Batista hitting the home runs and being the good citizen that we know that he is. That should be the stuff that we talk about.
But then why can't we see Batista celebrate? That was a big moment.
I'm not saying don't flip the bat because that was an awful thing to do. I'm saying that if flipping of the bat leads to all this mess and the high heat and the high tension, then don't flip the bat in the first place. Because we're not going to convince all the rest of Major League Baseball that the thing is fine to flip a bat. Howie Roseman of the Philadelphia Eagles will be joining us shortly. Also in this hour, Craig Sager of TNT making his way to Oakland today because he is finishing his course of chemotherapy over the last week in Houston. So the man is flying today, day of game. I'm not a doctor. I can't imagine that you're doing that to your blood system to try and get rid of the cancer than hopping on a plane. But this is what he's doing. Wow. That's going to be later on in this hour. And then Reggie Bush, hour number three. In the meantime, let's head to the phones. TJ in Richmond, Virginia. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, TJ?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
I think the Rangers have handled the entire thing wrong. There's basically three rules to this unwritten rule thing. Basically, if that player decides to flip the bat, the next player that bats should either take one in the ribs or the ear hole, however you want to deal with it. Your best player should then either take one in the ribs or the ear hole, or the player that hit the home run should then take one in the ear hole in his next at bat. Given the fact that this happened in the seventh inning of the playoffs, and the Rangers decided to not handle it at that point, it's all null and void. They waited until the following season in a player's last at bat of the last game that they're going to play each other to do this. Now, I see this as two separate entities. So what happened last year should be null and void at this point because the Rangers didn't decide to handle it then. So if they didn't police themselves last year and they carried it over into this season, that's why I think the Rangers have handled it totally wrong. And the fact that Bautista got hit in the ribs, I heard it mentioned earlier, that was not a shot at his career in any way. But Odor took that slide as he may try to end my career, taking out my knee type thing, and that's why you're able to then get up and take that punch.
TJ?
But in my opinion, the Rangers have handled it totally wrong.
TJ, thanks for the call. Del Tufo, played the soundbite of Jose Bautista saying that he did not intend to hurt Odor and purposely avoided him to get hurt.
I had a hard slide at second base. I could have injured him. I chose not to. I just try to send a message that I didn't appreciate getting hit on. Whatever. The rest of you guys watched.
I mean, they connect knees. And if Odor's back foot was planted by the time Bautista got in there, you've got yourself another carting off situation. You know what I mean? Man, oh man, it's alive. I can't, as much as I like Jose Bautista, I can't buy that he was trying not to hurt him. You're going in there, anything can happen.
He slid over the bag, though. It wasn't a situation where he slid three feet to the right or left.
He slid so late, though. He slid ridiculously late. He had no intention of staying on the bag.
Yeah, but he could have slid harder and in a different direction.
Well, I guess he could have
intentionally hurt him.
I guess that's what he means. But if Odor didn't lift his right leg and it was planted, that thing's split in two right now today. And there wouldn't have been a fight because Odor would have been, well, at least Odor wouldn't have been the one to connect. Let's go to Scott in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Rich. Rich, it sounds to me like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Okay.
You will go out of your way to praise Cam Newton because he's black and he's from Atlanta. That gives him the privilege to dance and show off.
Okay, Scott,
but
look.
In the same breath, Rich, you're saying that you can't do a bat flip.
Okay.
So is it okay for the black guy and it's not?
Whoa, Scott.
Okay for the Latin guy?
Scott, hold on a minute now. Look, I have no problem. Look, Scott, I have no problem with you calling up and saying that I am talking out of two sides of my mouth. This is not a race thing. This is not. I'm not saying this because about Cam Newton because he's black. The only thing that it was a race thing about Cam Newton is that people did have a problem because they had no idea that the dabbing was something that he was doing in an African American pop culture reference that many people didn't understand. And I'm not going to paint you with a brush that you didn't understand it because you're white. Now, let me just say this. I did say that if you did not like what Cam Newton was doing, stop it. And if you don't like what Jose Bautista did, then don't throw him the pitch for a home run. Sure. But then go ahead and hit him. Is that really what you should do? I don't understand the unwritten rules and how it's adjudicated, Scott. And Brockman came up before and pointed out my double standard. And I said to him at the time, well, then maybe what this means is that Cam Newton, in his press conference, he didn't handle it right in the same way that Bautista didn't handle it right yesterday. And I criticized Cam Newton for his post-game press conference of the Super Bowl. Now you have the floor again, Scott, if you care to have it.
No, Rich, that's fine, but it just sounded a little weird that it's okay for the black guy to do it, but not for the Latin guy to do it.
Scott, I appreciate your call. Thank you. But this is not that. This has nothing to do with black, white, Latin at all. This is not a racial thing whatsoever.
No, it's a baseball thing.
This is an unwritten rule thing that I don't understand and fans don't understand to the point where the adjudication of it on the field gets all screwed up. So I don't get it. And if I don't get it, then maybe we should just reverse it. Bat flips are fine. Late slides are fine. Brushback pitches are fine. Shake it off. Play baseball after that. But at some point, you do have to put the ball over the plate, and you do have to attempt to hit it and play the game. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Craig Sager of TNT, making his way to Oakland, will be joining us in this hour. Same with Reggie Bush in hour number three here on the Rich Eisen Show studio. Don't go anywhere. We're back with more here. 844-204-RICH. Phone lines are lighting up, so please do take advantage of that. We're back with more here on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment.
Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports the Rich Eisen Show podcast. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century, people. It's fast, it's powerful, it's completely online. Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. Hate searching through stacks of old files and paperwork? With Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements and pay stubs at the touch of a button, helping you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your unique financial situation. Even better, with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all of this on your phone or tablet. It's a quick online process that you can manage from the convenience of your couch. So if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/rich. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
He is the agent of Sam Bradford, Tom Condon. When Sam signed his contract with Philadelphia, did the Eagles give you any indication that they would draft a quarterback?
No, but to tell you the truth, I think at that particular time, they were trying to acquire a quarterback that they thought they could win with right now, because they think they've got a good supporting cast and they've got a good football team. And Sam certainly fit the bill for that.
That was Tom Condon last week on the Rich Eisen Show. And now I'm pleased to head back to the phone lines here on this Monday program and welcome in the EVP of football operations for the Philadelphia Eagles, Howie Roseman. How are you, Howie?
I'm good, Rich. Thanks for having me. I think I've heard that voice from Tom Condon before.
did it give you chills? What did it give you there, Howie?
Flashbacks.
There you go.
Total flashbacks.
I mean, he's got a radio voice. He's got a voice for radio, that Tom Condon. I'll tell you that.
Doesn't he? He's got that deep baritone voice. He seems like he could be a great announcer. I want to talk to him about that, announcing our games. He can announce Sam when we introduce him for Cleveland in our opener.
I like that. Maybe Merrill Reese, you know, could teach him a thing or two, you know?
Merrill's a legend.
He is that.
Hey, how about this? How about this? I know you guys probably have things you want to talk about, but
sure.
Why should I, you know, be holding to that?
Floor's yours.
How about the fact that, Rich, our first game at the Link, you and I getting lost in the tunnel. Do you remember that?
I do. It was a big night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Big night. You go, hey, Howie, where do we go? And I go, I got you covered, man. And then all of a sudden we're like in the dungeons, like with the caterers.
Now that's when it goes dark on me, though. That I don't now. After what happened after that? What happened after that, Howard?
It's like an old. It's like one of those stories that gets better in my mind every year. You know? maybe we went out like to a restaurant and missed the first half.
No one can ever take that away from us, Howie Roseman. Nobody.
I love it. I love it. What do we got?
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, the whole Sam Bradford thing. Let's start with this. Did you, when you signed Sam Bradford, give an indication that you'd be bringing in other quarterbacks to the mix?
You know, I think every single time that Coach or I have talked this off season, we talked about drafting a young quarterback. We were pretty out front about that. Obviously, our travels were followed all over the internet about where we were and what we were doing. So we were pretty conspicuous about getting a young quarterback in here. Certainly when you're talking about starting the offseason picking 13 with no two, I'm not Nostradamus to think that we'd be able to get up to the second pick in the draft. I didn't have that indication. And when we signed Sam, we were still picking 13. So we didn't have all the information at that time, but needless to say, we wanted Sam Bradford on this team. We wanted to sign him, and that's why we went out and brought him back.
So, in other words, there may not have been any specific communication verbally, but there was writing on the wall that Bradford could have read. Did I get that right?
We don't tell anyone our plans about anything because we're trying to execute our moves. I don't know any team that does that, that just kind of comes out and just says, hey, we're going to take a left tackle in the first round and goes and does that. I don't know. That sounds kind of strange to me. And I think that's the nature of this business. It's whoever you draft in the first round, it's going to affect someone else. It's a competitive league. It's a competitive business. So we get it from his side too. You know, it's a business as well. And so he's got to do whatever he thinks is in his best interest. We're just glad he's back here. And as we start OTAs tomorrow, get started.
Howie Roseman, Eagles Executive Vice President of Football Operations, joining me here. So is it true that Denver did reach out to you as part of the aftermath of Bradford asking for a trade? Did that happen, Howie?
No, I'd hate to talk about anyone's business. We never kind of talk about trade discussions. I think the thing here is that we wanted to keep Sam. We want him as our starting quarterback. We're excited that he's back, and I think that it's, someone said a long time ago to me, and I've used this line a couple of times, that some of the things that happen in April, May are, once you get into August and September, they're a thing of the past.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, that's what we were saying here on the show. That's not the royal way. It's me and my guys here, just so you understand. I haven't lost my mind here. That in our conversation, that if Bradford, you know, scores first set of downs against Cleveland week one, you know, he's not being booed. People are going to be very, very happy about that. So
he has, fired up.
He has the ability to ball out and succeed for you. The question is what happens then, Howie, if he does do that for your team and you've got Carson Wentz sitting there? How do you view that scenario potentially?
Rich man problems, Rich, you know, and then not, pun not really intended when it came out, but
yes,
I see how that can be taken.
Yes.
What you got there is it's so hard to find this position, you know. It's maybe the most important position in sports. So there would be nothing better than for him to play at an incredibly high level and have that issue, just like, you know, Green Bay had when they had drafted Aaron and they had Brett playing really well, or San Diego when they drafted Phillip Rivers and they had Drew Brees playing really well, or Kurt Warner with Matt Leinart. So we looked at all those situations. One thing we knew is that we need to have a high level of play from the quarterback position in the short term and in the long term in Philadelphia. That gives us our best chance to compete.
Well, let me ask you a couple more Bradford questions before moving on to Wentz here. Why do you think Bradford was so upset then by this? Because, I mean,
well, I think that he also, I think Tom has said this publicly, so I'm not saying anything new here. He viewed there to be an opportunity somewhere that was good for him. And just like, as Tom said, we did what we felt was the right thing for our organization, not only for the short term and the long term, but he was trying to pick a great spot for him that would work out for him in the short term and long term. So, understandable. That's why he hires Tom, who's obviously unbelievable at his job. And now I think we all just move forward.
Well, because, I mean, one of the first things you said in the press conference to announce that you got up to number two overall was Sam Bradford's our starter. So I'm wondering if you thought right then and there that you knew that this move might be viewed as a provocative act from his point of view.
That's why we took the preemptive strike of making sure we were clear about what was going on here, clear for not only him, but for our football team to understand who our starting quarterback was when we get out there and practice, who's working with the ones, and at the same time understanding that we got an obligation to this football team, to our city, to make sure that we look at the draft not only for the short term, but really for the long term. And it was a unique opportunity. And happy to go into it, kind of why we made the decision we did, and a lot of it surrounded by the uniqueness that we think Carson Wentz brings to the table.
All right, let's get into that then. When did you fall in love with Carson Wentz? When did you first fall in love with this guy? Which you clearly had to do to get up to.
We had a chance. The game tape, obviously, in the fall was really good, and going down to Mobile, going down to the Senior Bowl, and getting a chance to see him throw live, which is such a big part of the process of evaluating quarterbacks, and then bringing him in and interviewing him at the Senior Bowl, and just seeing his intelligence, the intangibles he brings to the table, as well as the physical abilities. But again, sitting there at 13, understanding that he's going to go high in the draft, not really sure that was going to work, and happy with Sam as our starting quarterback. But as we got through the process and realized what a unique opportunity it was to be able to pick a quarterback that high, get the opportunity. You know, we haven't picked a quarterback in the first round since 1999, where we obviously took Donovan. And then when you do sometimes have an opportunity to be in the top 10, we picked there when we picked Lane Johnson in 2013, and E.J. Manuel was the first quarterback in that draft. I think he went 16th. So you could be picking in the top 10, and there would be no quarterback that you're interested in, or you could be in a situation like in 2012 where there are two quarterbacks, and you know, the team at the front, the Colts, wasn't trading Andrew Luck for anything. And then the team picking two trades from 2 to 4 for 3 ones and a two. So you look at those scenarios and you say, well, you may be in a draft where you're close enough, but there's only one quarterback, and if you need one, the team's not willing to trade. Or the price gets even more expensive. And then the flip side of it, just it seems to us like there's a little bit of a graying of the quarterback market in the National Football League, that there are a lot of great players at that position, and at some point probably going to be turnover. And so how many teams will actually you be competing with to get one of these guys?
Howie Roseman joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. After you acquired the number 2 overall pick, did your phone ring for people who thought maybe you would flip it? Did that happen?
It didn't. You know, I think we were very clear at the outset, and again, just trying to be transparent, that we would trade up to 2 to take quarterback, and that's what we were going to do. And I think the Rams were pretty transparent about their intentions too. So,
well, they were intent in terms of the taking a quarterback. But was there any part of you that just thought maybe they take Wentz and you got Goff? Did that happen at all, Howie?
Yeah, you know, and for us, we had to be comfortable with both guys, and we were. Jared Goff's going to be a heck of a player, and I know how excited the Rams are for him to be able to get him. And so you have to go through those scenarios because you're not picking first, and you don't have the right to choose when you're picking two. That's what they had the right to do. So I think that you go there now, you feel fairly confident in what you think is going to happen, but you better be ready for that right hook, because otherwise you'll be dropped, right?
Oh, well, are you like Batista, did you just go baseball reference on me?
Yeah, right, but
there?
You know what? It was in my mind a little bit.
We've all seen it. We've all seen it. So how are things with Sam now, though? Howie, is it awkward? Is it professional? How would you term this reunion?
He is professional. He's always been professional. He's a class act, and I think that we're all here internally. Have moved on, and it's pretty calm. It's a little bit, I'd even want to say, quiet inside our facility.
No,
after our rookie camp.
We could do something about that in the next minute, Howie, before I let you go.
You want to just
shake it up? What do you want to do?
No, I've been part of shake it up. You know, I'm kind of looking forward to the quiet moment right here.
Hey, now, look, Howie, I mean, you did use some of Chip's players, right, to go get up to 8. I mean, so there were some groceries that you used to get all the way up to 2, right, Howie? Am I not right?
Oh, for sure. You know, we couldn't have done this without the first part of it. We couldn't have gotten from 13 to 2. And when you look at the Dolphins, they got 2 starters. and one a corner who's been a starter in two Super Bowls in a row, and a guy who was the Defensive Rookie of the Year. So this did not come cheap. We understand that, and certainly when you pull the trigger, you don't take that lightly.
See, we're both from Brooklyn, man. You weren't just born yesterday. I gave you a shot to maybe take a shot at Chip where we could have had something to shake it up in the last minute. You went high class on me, Howie. You went high class on me. Well done.
I got you covered, man. I got you covered. You know, you're trying to get me like under the cover of darkness.
No.
I'm not pulling for
you. You're a good man, Howie. Thanks for calling in. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You bet. That's Howie Roseman, EVP of Football Ops. Try to get him to do it. Wouldn't do it. Once you're in the bowels of the link with somebody, you have a bonding experience.
You know how hard it was for me to not ask him a few off-air questions there?
I mean, he's got to go. It's too bad he didn't call in terribly early. You actually did call in a little bit early, and you could have white-gloved him all the way through to his hit time, but no.
I wanted you to be the first hands that, you know,
God bless. You're good, man. Let's take a break. Back with some of your phone calls in a minute before we turn things over to Craig Sager. Again, what a story. What a guy. What a night as well for he and TNT. Game one, Warriors, Thunder. We'll talk about it with Craig Sager before Reggie Bush shows up in studio.
Rich Eisen here. Now, look, you know pricing information is great when you're trying to buy a car, but there's more to your car buying experience than just price. There's the actual buying experience. And to enjoy a better one, you have to go to a TrueCar certified dealer. Trust me, they're there to help you find the car you want, and they are what makes TrueCar unique. With TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing, so you can lock in guaranteed savings off MSRP right away and enjoy a better buying experience. Over 2 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. TrueCar will show you what other people right in your area paid for the same car you're looking for, so you can know what a fair price is and feel confident in the whole process. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app to enjoy a better car buying experience today. Some features are not available in all states.
A swing and a drive!
Get the...
Going yard.
Morales, center field, deep, long run for Smith. It is gone! Kendrys Morales! A two-run walk-off home run. How about that for breaking out of a slump?
Going yard.
And did you see when Kendrys Morales touched home plate? It was very ginger jumping up and down on the dish because that's how he broke his ankle playing for the Angels years ago. That ended his very successful stint with the Los Angeles Angels many, many years ago. And it was a big home run for a struggling Kansas City team that lost 3 of 4 in New York and was on verge of losing 2 of 3 at home to the worst team in the league, which is what the Atlanta Braves have turned into. Going Yard brought to you by Wix. A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Add your images, video, text, social media. It's easy to look stunning online when you have Wix.com for you. So go there now and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free. That's Wix.com, W-I-X.com. Could have also chosen Carlos Beltran's home run for the Yankees yesterday. 54th player in Major League history to hit his 400th career home run. 8th player to do it. While playing for the Yankees, and he's just the 4th switch hitter to do it. As the Yankees took 3 of 4 from the Royals, as I mentioned. Before that, they took 2 of 3 from the Red Sox. They just took 2 of 3 from the White Sox. So that's a successful homestand for the Yankees, who now head to Arizona now to start an interleague set with the Diamondbacks, who are going to start Greinke in that series. He's been struggling. And we couldn't use Ortiz going yard. Well, we could have. He went yard on Saturday. That was an incredible game for David Ortiz, putting together potentially the greatest walk-off season ever, where it's just the first time he homered in the game, and then he triples with 2 outs in the 9th to tie the score. Triples with 2 outs in the 9th to tie the score against Houston. With an open base in the 11th inning, he's up at the plate with 2 outs. And for some reason, I tweeted it out in the 11th inning. I'm watching it at home. I tweeted out, pitching to Poppy with an open base is madness. Now, the reason why there was an open base is because a wild pitch moved the runner over. But even with 2 strikes, it was 2-2. at that point in time, for Poppy, you've got to walk him.
Just put him on.
And let Hanley Ramirez get up there and clearly bunt, because that's what he does in the situation, right, as he did in the ninth inning after Ortiz tripled to tie the score. Dumbest play I've seen in Major League Baseball this year. Hanley Ramirez, surprise bunt to try and squeeze him home. Ball went 2 feet in front. He was out of it right away. Squelched a rally. But it just allowed Ortiz to win the game in extras and, for the first time in his career, have a double, triple, and home run. First time in his career, had those three different types of extra base hits in a game. He's unbelievable. We'll take a break. Craig Sager's about to call in from the road, making his way today to the game tonight because he's finishing up his chemotherapy treatments in Houston. It's a story unlike any other. He's a person unlike any other. Craig Sager of TNT when we come back here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Stay tuned for 60 seconds of AP News headlines right after this podcast.
A lot of teams, particularly the Spurs, are resting players. Could you use a rest?
Seeing you and doing what you're doing, I mean, we got no excuses. So, you're an inspiration for us to, just keep doing what we're doing, keep fighting. And that's the mentality we have, and it's kind of contagious. So, thank you.
That was the eventual back-to-back MVP of the NBA, Steph Curry, at the end of March, chatting with Craig Sager of TNT, part of the inspiration that Craig Sager has become, certainly in the NBA. And we are pleased to have here on the Rich Eisen Show as he's making his way out to Oakland to be part of TNT's broadcast coverage of Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals between Steph Curry's Golden State Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder is Craig Sager. How are you, Craig?
Well, good. I definitely did not want to miss a game, especially in the conference finals. So I just finished my eighth day cycle of chemo here at MD Anderson in Houston. So I rushed after I was done this morning. I just now hopped on the plane and I'll land at 1 and go drop my stuff off at the hotel, and then I'll leave at 2:15 to head over to the arena. So everything's working out. That clock worked.
Yeah, and I guess in that regard, Craig, is just to reiterate, we've caught you in the airport where you're flying on the day of the game because you had to be in Houston yesterday to finish your 8 days of chemotherapy, is what you're saying.
Yeah, today's the 8th day, so I had to stay through today. I had been commuting throughout the week to Oklahoma City and back, and then San Antonio and back, which I was very fortunate. That's why I found this series, where I could get chemo in the morning and then drive to San Antonio or fly to Oklahoma City and then get back to Houston for the next day of chemo. But obviously, it's a little bit further trying to get all the way out to Oakland. So it worked out good that the 8-day cycle finished today. I'll need, your typical flights with that to go in for blood and platelets. But there's great hospitals all over the country where I can do that. It's just this chemo that I'm on is a clinical trial that's only available at MD Anderson. So
are you concerned, though, about getting on planes? I mean, because it's not the most sanitary spot sometimes.
I'm supposed to be wearing a mask. I got the mask in my pocket.
Okay.
My platelets were down to 4 yesterday, but I got boosted up with some more platelets. And, some of these doctors I go to on the road, they go, your platelets are at 4, they're at 6. You can't be out and about. You can't be traveling. I said, hey, don't worry about it. I've been doing it for a year. Everything's working out good. And they're kind of surprised that I have enough energy. But to be honest with you, I have not had any major side effects from the chemo. My face is a little blemished and all, but we got good makeup girls.
Yeah. Take care of that tonight. And in terms of tonight, I mean, how will you be able to keep your energy? It's a late night, certainly if you're talking Central Time tip going on with your jet lag before we get to the basketball aspect of this, Craig.
I've never gotten jet lag. I've never even thought about it. All the years I've been doing MBA, I never took a nap in the hotel except once, and that was the day I came down with the leukemia. But no, the adrenaline kicks in, you feel great. I can't wait to be there, and I wouldn't want to miss this matchup for the world.
Yeah, I know. It's a great game, great matchup. And what does it mean, though, for you to get the outpouring of support that you've got, not only from the NBA community, but I read that stupendous Sager Strong, Sideline Strong article that was written in Sports Illustrated. People like Phil Mickelson, who you've never really met, reaching out to you. What's that been for you, Craig?
It's been amazing. And, you know, I talked about it all, you know, all the time. You know, it's not about me. It's not, you know, all this attention, but it's what I'm representing. I'm representing somebody who refuses to give in, to give up against this awful disease called cancer. And everybody seems to have somebody in their family or friends or somebody that's been affected, you know, by cancer. And that, they want to see somebody fight against it. They want to see somebody fight the evil. And that's what cancer is. And so, you know, I think it's certainly grown and it's much more attention than I ever envisioned or ever thought of or ever could have dreamed of. I mean, it's unbelievable. But, I can handle it. I'm embracing it. It's an outlet to express, you know, that, yes, it is discomforting, and yes, you know, causes problems, and yes, there are hurdles, but you can get through them. And it's, you know, you got to listen to your doctors, and you got to kind of surrender in some ways, you know, instead of fighting everything. You have to understand there's people with greater power than you have that are taking care of you. And then you just have to have the right attitude and have to keep fighting for it and keep doing what you're told. And you know, don't ever get down. I mean, that's the thing I have. I've never had one day where I just said, why me? Or, you know, laid in bed and couldn't sleep because, you know, of what I'm facing. No, I'm ready to face it every day and try my best and hopefully we can make medical history.
Craig Sager of Turner Sports on the way to the first game of the Western Conference Finals. Will be calling with the great Marv Albert and the rest of the crew there on Turner, joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what do you expect from this series between the defending champs and the Oklahoma City Thunder, who suddenly have gotten the gumption to close out games and series against the Spurs, Craig?
They are playing at their best level of the year. There's no doubt about it. They're getting contributions that we never expected, not only from Steven Adams, but, you know, Deion Waiters. I never had much faith in his shot, but he certainly has become a clutch player and an offensive force. And Robertson, you know, his defense has been tremendous, and they are definitely going to need him. If Steph Curry is healthy and doesn't break down, I think you have to give the edge, you know, the Golden State. The thing that worries me about Oklahoma City is that big lineup that was so effective against the Spurs when they had Enos Kanter out there along with Steven Adams and Serge Ibaka at times. I don't know if they can even play that lineup against Golden State. I think Golden State will go small, will run them all over the place. So that's one area that I think is going to be very interesting. Will Billy Donovan, you know, go with that big lineup that was so effective against the Spurs? Will you use those guys? Or will they be, you know, relegated to the bench because they can't play in a series with the speed, quickness, and the small lineup of Golden State? So at this point, you know, I'm going in. I think Golden State has, you know, quite an advantage. But, you know, that's just Steph Curry is 100% and doesn't break down. And, you know, he is unbelievable. You can't stop him. He's fun to watch. But, I mean, Russell Westbrook doesn't have the same shot from the outside. But nobody can stop Russell Westbrook one-on-one. And that guy is unbelievable. And he's really become quite a, you know, facilitator, too, and, you know, a passer. And they seem to be clicking. And we know that Kevin Garnett can match Steph, you know, point for point. So it's one of those matchups that we're, believe me, very pleased to have. It should be fun to watch. It should be up and down the court. It should be a lot of fun. And we look forward to 7.
And I look forward to hearing your reporting tonight, Craig. Sounds like you're getting on the plane right now.
I'm closing doors.
Okay. Craig, it's all good. Look, take your time and do what you need to do. And I really appreciate you taking the time to call into this show. I love watching you. I've loved watching you for years. You're a good man. So thanks for taking the time.
Anytime. Say hi to Susie.
You bet. Thanks, bye. Craig. That's Craig Sager right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And Susie just loves him. Everybody does. I mean, when Susie worked at Turner doing the sideline reporting of NBA games, he was so nice to her. Just welcomed a new member of the reporting team with open arms. Just a good dude, man. And just think about that tonight when you watch him and you watch part of that broadcast tonight. Just know what he did over the last 10 days, what he did this morning. You just heard him on a plane making his way to Oakland today wearing a mask. He's got four platelets. His platelet count is down to four, right? I mean, I'm not a doctor. It just sounds low, right?
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
I mean,
it sounds bad.
Unbelievable that this guy is traveling and doing what he is doing. Inspirational, unbelievable, whatever adjectives. There really is no words for it. It's a pretty big game, too, man. Game one between these two teams. Thought it would be Spurs, Warriors. Instead, it's Thunder, Warriors. The big two there. You mentioned Dion Waiters' shot. If somehow, some way, they can get a third contributor there, maybe, just maybe, they go ahead and shock the world here. Going to be part of Turner tonight. There is a new Rookie of the Year, unanimous. We'll explain that when we come back. A new coach in the NBA that has been hired and introduced. Tiger Woods has spoken from his event that he's promoting in the D.C. area. He took some shots for the live media cameras to show. We'll let you know how those shots went. And Reggie Bush in person, hour number three, here on the Rich Eisen Show.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. Stay tuned for the latest AP News headlines from Podcast One, right after this.
GEICO presents sharing versus oversharing. Yesterday, Cliff Sora shared a top 10 list of hot fusion restaurants, a vegan gluten-free mashup recipe, and a podcast featuring organic food trends. Oh, TMI, too much internet information. That's oversharing. Cliff, GEICO has something worth sharing with your friends. Like how on GEICO.com you could save hundreds on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim. Gluten-free info that's easy to swallow. Mm-hmm. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Update. I'm Carlotta Bradley. Kentucky has a Democratic presidential primary Tuesday, and that's where Hillary Clinton has been campaigning. In Hopkinsville, she took on a heckler.
You are entitled to your opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts.
Bernie Sanders was in Puerto Rico talking about its $70 billion public debt.
Wall Street is going to have to sit down and negotiate a fair debt restructuring with the people of Puerto Rico.
Meanwhile, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump says as president, he'd love to have a good relationship with British Prime Minister David Cameron and other British officials. But he told Britain's ITV network that's up to Cameron, who has criticized Trump's position on Muslims and Islamic extremism.
It looks like we're not going to have a very good relationship. Who knows? I hope to have a good relationship with him. But it sounds like he's not willing to address the problem either.
Oregon is also having a primary Tuesday. AP Update, I'm Carlotta Bradley.